All right, it's 6:04 and we're going to start our regular session. We met at 4:10 in a work session and listened to all the school's school improvement plans, which was very delightful. We'd like to welcome everyone here tonight. We'd like to thank you for coming to our board meeting. It's kind of a nice audience tonight, so welcome. We're going to start tonight with a opening ceremony, which person I asked to leave just left, so I will ask myself to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There he is. He led us from the door wing. I'd like to make an adjustment to the minutes that Eric Newell led us in the pledge from the door wing. I'd like to excuse Lynn Hobbs, our board president. He is home ill, and we hope for his speedy recovery, and I will be conducting tonight's meeting. First of all, we're going to start off with some recognitions, and it's always a delight to have people here to do recognitions. We understand and know that there's great things happening in the schools and with our staff and teachers, so we're going to start with the Art on the Lawn recognition, and I'll turn the time over to Marshall.
Very quickly, before Mrs. Watkins comes up and gives a presentation, she has been a valued patron for us for many years, and her relationship with Lee Burningham, our ceramics teacher at the high school, has allowed us to be able to have some great things happening. And this time I'd like to turn some time over to Lucy to make a presentation.
Well, I met with Lee this morning, and as you know, he's gone to a conference for the National Ceramic. He's on the board in Houston, so he told me what to say. But I'm going to talk about behind his back just a little bit. Lee has been instrumental in Art on the Lawn since the very first year when I didn't know him from Adam. And without Lee Burningham, it would be very, very difficult. He gives his all for this one little event, and I wanted to say how I appreciate it. He also wanted me to point out that there's some beautiful murals that will be constructed a week from this week in Logan High, and they'll be integrating science and chemistry in these murals, so they will be very interesting. I'm going to stop by. And he also wanted me to say that there's a wonderful display of ceramics that Logan High students have done. They're all in the state fair, Utah State Fair. Two got best of the show, and the rest won ribbons, and they're in the display in Logan High, which I'm going to go see. So that's what he wanted to tell you. What I want to tell you is I want to thank again Lee Burningham, and he always gives a check, too. So Lee and the Clay crew have given a check for $300. Yay. And Art on the Lawn, even though it's a recession, we have name recognition now, so we're doing a tiny bit better. So I'd like to give the arts department $2,000 this year.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming tonight and for that wonderful donation. We understand and know that it really does make a difference in our art program, and with budget cuts, any little bit we get help. So,
and so in the arts, they can buy, stuff that they need.
Of course. Okay. And Lee does a great job with that, pottery program at the high school, and I know the students are just doing amazing, artwork there. So we appreciate you coming very much.
Thank you.
Thank
again.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, next we will have the award, Environmental Excellence Award, and I will turn the time over to Marshall again.
And we have, for the last 4 years, I believe, been involved with energy education, and it's been a great program. We've had Eric Newell as our energy czar specialist, who has been able to help us out. But tonight we'd like to turn some time over to energy education and Ed Graff to make a presentation to the school district. So with that, we'll turn some time over to Ed.
Well, thanks very much. I've been here many times, and I recognize each and every one of you, so this is it's been a long-serving board. But I'm here tonight to, you know, kind of shine a little light on the energy program, and it has been nearly 4 years that we've had this partnership and that Eric has been doing this program. And I just wanted to point out a couple of things. You know, you've done a lot of great things in the district with your, with your infrastructure and your lighting, your heating and those type of things. But what our program is about, it's about changing people's behavior. And by doing that the way you've done it, we've been able to, kind of working together, reduce your consumption of natural gas and of electricity and of your sewer and water usage by 25%, which is a lot. That's translated into nearly $800,000 in avoided costs. So $800,000 that you would have written checks to your utility company for that you were able to, redirect, to other things. And that's, I have a note here. I have to pull up my notes because I can't remember this stuff without it. But I have a few equivalencies. It looks like you've been doing this for 37 months. And, again, I had mentioned the 25%. It's actually $844,000 in avoided costs. And that's the equivalent of reducing the output of 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide into the environment. It's the equivalent of planting 100,000 seedlings and letting them grow for 10 years. It's the equivalent of taking nearly 700 cars off the road, and it's the avoided use of about 7 million kilowatt hours. So those are great things to say because the numbers are all real big. And it's it's kind of fun to talk about that type of reduction. So it's it's really a thanks to Eric, but really I'm sure he'd be the first to admit that it really has to do with everybody in the district, the principals, the teachers, the maintenance department. So what I'd like to do is present you with our Environmental Excellence Award. And for us it's a pretty important one. It says you're doing the right thing, you're good stewards of your financial resources, and you're good stewards of the environment. So the award says for conserving our nation's precious resources through the excellent implementation of energy education's transformation energy management process and serving as a role model of energy conservation to fellow educational organizations, Logan City School District is hereby presented the Environmental Excellence Award for outstanding environmental and financial resource stewardship. I think Eric probably wants to say a thing or two, but what I want to remind you, if you don't mind, I'll take one more minute to say, although the fee portion of our relationship is coming to an end, our relationship is not coming to an end. And we as a company will continue to support this program as you need us and continue to support Eric or even Eric's successors at no charge into the future. So, we look for this to be a long-term relationship. We've been, we've been working with Weber County now for about 9 years. And, kind of the same relationship. There was a short fee period, a few years, and then the program lives on. So we look forward to that and look forward to you doing it in the future. And, of course, your return on investment exponentially leaps, when the fee portion is over.
Thanks, Ed.
I'll give you the golf course check.
All right. The golf course check right there. We'll go to the huge audience here.
Oh, cool.
Scan it in your computer and send it to everyone.
I had invited custodians and maintenance here. I didn't think they would end up coming, but I told them I was going to thank them regardless, so I just wanted to publicly go on record. I may only have two index fingers, so I can only turn so many things off. And it really is, to me, a great testament just to a lot of people doing a bunch of little things that adds up and makes a big difference. And I'm especially proud of this. I think with our air quality issues here in Cache Valley, it's a great thing for the district to be able to say, hey, we're doing our part here to improve air quality. Of custodians, any chance I get to thank Kevin Dodge. He just is a standout custodian up there. Just talk about someone that's I don't know, take an initiative all the time to do the right thing, and I have to tell them to turn lights on when I go there.
He likes going in the dark, and those are really dark hallways.
Yeah, they are dark, and so I tell them, you know, use what you need, but I want to extend compliments to him and to Glenn Godfrey at Bridger, Lisa Jensen at Woodruff Elementary, Paige Davis over at Adams, Chris Weems at Ellis, Dan Merck there at Wilson, Glenn Davidson and Ray Morris at Mount Logan Middle School, and Paul Gutke and his staff at Logan High. And then also just Don Bell's been tremendous to work with. Appreciate he's always doing something, and I admire him a lot and all that he does. And so I see Dean every morning at Mount Logan there working on the boilers and checking on them, and Mike Olson behind the scenes taking care of the temperature settings. And those are all people that certainly deserve a huge share of the credit here. So I just want to publicly thank them for their role. So, and thank all of you for your support as well. So,
I have a question for these two, if I may.
Oh, yes.
Compared with other districts, how are we doing? I know many are bigger than we are. How do we compare? What does this award, how do we compare is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think you compare very well. You know, we have a lot of districts that look at, say, 18-19% cost avoidance, you know, compared to the time before you had the program is pretty darn successful. And you're 25. So that's a great number. You know, we had dinner together tonight, and Eric said, you know, I go around the district all the time, and I see more opportunity. So, you know, pretty much anybody can do better. But a 25% program is one that we as a company look at and say, this is pretty good. You know, we're not worried about this one. If we see one in the mid-teens, we think, well, you know, they could do better, and we should push a little bit. But I think you compare very well. And we have 10 programs in Utah, and you're right up there with the best of those as well.
Good.
Thank you.
Very nice. Cool. Any other questions? Well, thank you, Mr. Graff. We appreciate you coming and presenting that award to us. It's been a great opportunity for us to work with your business, and we appreciate the savings. And we talked just briefly about my initial desire to have that flow back into teachers' pockets as an incentive program, and I think, thankfully, we did that, and it has, in a roundabout way, really has made a difference in our district. I can't imagine having a larger cut in what we've already experienced. So I appreciate you. Thank you
so
very much.
It was nice to be here. Today was a great day to come to Logan, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful out there.
Tomorrow will be a different story.
Yeah. No. And thank you, Eric. I think that we need to, you know, really commend you. And you are the energy program, even though you don't think you are. But really you are. And I like that you always have a smile on your face and you're not intimidating or make people feel fearful, at least, you know, in my experience. And you probably should share some of your funny stories to everybody eventually about you and your energy Nazi attitude. But it's a great thing, and we appreciate what you do. So thank you very much.
That when you're dreaming about the steam traps.
So thank you so much.
Where you got stuck?
No.
No, I haven't been stuck.
Yes, you're smart. You learn your lesson. So thank you very much. We appreciate both of you. And express our appreciation to the custodians as well. We understand that they work very hard, and we're very grateful for what they do. We are now going to move into our informational calendar, correct?
Yes.
I think that's what I had. Okay, goodbye. We'll see you guys later. First, we're going to have Cheryl Brown, our Classified Employee Association, report on the classifieds.
This will be short and sweet, but I just wanted to thank the board and the negotiations team for helping us get through negotiations, and it went quite smoothly. It was an awesome process. And when talking with Chris Marchbanks, who is our Utah rep, he said that there's not another district out there that's more transparent than Logan, and it just was so easy to know what we had to work with and to sit down, and we didn't take that lightly. We came up with a lot of different scenarios on what to do with that money and how to best have that benefit our employees. And I think we came up with a fairly good plan that benefited almost all of our employees. So I just want to say thank you to the board and to the negotiations team, because it was interesting. We've had such a small negotiations team the last couple years, but we tried to get someone from each department to be on the negotiations team this year for the classified employees. And I think they all had their eyes opened as to how negotiations even work. And I think that'll be beneficial in us going back and trying to get more of our employees to be members of our association too. And so anyway, we had our ratification meeting. It passed with 100%, and we're done with negotiations, and we'll get started pretty soon to see if we can better prepare for next year's negotiations. So thank you.
Perfect. Any questions for Cheryl? We appreciate what you do. Thank you, Cheryl. It was a delight to see your negotiation process, and I was just really pleased with the outcome. I think we all were very pleased with that process. So thank you very much. I'd like to excuse our Parent Teacher Association president, Cynthia Miller. She won't be reporting tonight for the PTA. And we'd like to welcome our new Uniserv director, Hillary Stevens. She'll be reporting for the LEA. She has taken Barbara Covert's spot at Uniserv, so we're grateful to have you, and welcome to Logan and Cache Valley and in that position.
My name is Hillary Stevens. It's great to be here tonight. None of the LEA representation could be here, so that afforded me the opportunity to come and introduce myself to you. I'm Hillary Stevens. I'm actually almost kind of local. I grew up in Box Elder County and graduated from Utah State, so it's great to be home. My report on behalf of the LEA is quite brief tonight. Negotiations for the 12-13 year have not yet commenced, but the LEA is looking forward to working collaboratively with the district on modifying the reduction in force, which was part of the negotiated agreement, and also in the ever-evolving evaluation that will be happening over the next few years. So they're looking forward to having input there. And the association continues to meet monthly with the administration and keep the lines of communication open and address issues as they come up. So that is the report for this month, and I appreciate you allowing me to be here. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And once again, we welcome you, and hopefully we'll have a nice, long working relationship together. We appreciate LEA and what they do for our district. We also would like to excuse Doug Beach, who would have represented the District Administration Association. He is not able to be with us tonight. So that is our reports for tonight. We'd like to move into the consent calendar. For approval of the consent calendar, do I have any discussion about that?
I'll move we accept the consent calendar as submitted.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. So the consent calendar has been approved for tonight, and we'll move into action items. First thing we'll do is the 2012-2013 school calendar. I'll turn the time over to Marshall.
And I'm not sure which page this is on for you. 95, I believe. Pages 95, 96, and 97. We've got the process we've been going through for the last few years is the year prior to a calendar beginning, we have you do a final approval and then a tentative for the year after. As you can see, that we're having some major difficulties with the 2013-2014 calendar, just the way days were setting. There was a vote. It wasn't a super majority, though, and so we know we need to have more work on that, though we're not sure where the options are. So one of the things we will do this year is probably spend a little more time, not only with the members, but getting it out to more people to say, what can you do to improve this calendar? but we do want to have at least a tentative one to discuss and then utilize that as the vehicle for manipulation. The primary one is for the 2012-2013 school year, so that we can then now set, once this is approved, we can then set our parent-teacher conference dates and all the other dates that need to be put in.
All right, any discussion about the calendar?
What are the major problems, Marshall?
I was not able to go because we had a conflict. I was not able to go to that, but Stacy ran that meeting. Stacy, do you have a, would you mind sharing a little bit on what you saw were the concerns?
Tell you the truth, I can't remember. I just remember
Christmas.
The Christmas break and winter. When to come back, where the second falls. Some people like the second off for the Chinese New Year. They've stated they'll never make it back to the second if we come back on the second. I don't know how many people that involves or how many people we'd actually miss. And then just, I can't remember which day the
24th. Well, this calendar has us coming back on December or January 6th.
And part of that is we also have tried to not have a 2 days week if we could possibly do it, because again, we don't have, when you only have 2 days within a week, the tendency are people will take the full week off anyway, so our attendance is very low.
And yet that's
isn't
what
the second
we're doing in this calendar
that's
for us.
Well, we're going two and a half days, I believe.
Well, it has
at Christmas.
On the third.
On the third for Thursday and Friday.
It's one of those, either have too long or too short,
mm-hmm.
Of a time frame. But so that's the 2000. The other challenge again on the 2013-2014 is a date to start. If we usually do start on a Wednesday, but if we did start on a Wednesday, then that would put us into the next week for. We'd actually have to go into June. We have to come back for a Monday, one day for students if we were to do that. So
which
trying to find that. So again, you're looking at the 23rd, 24th. If you do that, then that's getting way too close to Christmas and people who are traveling. So we really don't have much flexibility on the front end of the winter break. Potentially we could do something on the other end of that, but it will be like this year would be a 2 day week.
And no one likes to go into June except for elementary doesn't mind. High secondary doesn't want to go into June. They'd rather start earlier in August. Elementary would rather start later and go into June. But as an energy standpoint, that Eric doesn't want us going into June.
That first week sets cost. The rate for the entire month. So if we go in, if we have large usage that first week, we'll still get charged for that even if we have nobody in the buildings.
Well, and some of the discussion was people liked when we started this year. Last year was too early. But the difference between the 16th and the 20th, everybody felt like that was major. You know, to start on the 16th was just way too early.
Yeah.
And even though in some ways the 16th looked just about, it's only 4 days, a big 4 days, mm-hmm. was the discussion there. We need 3 weekends in August before school starts.
Mm-hmm.
One of the challenges on this, and this is why it's still flexible, if we were to do this and we are under the current, continue with the current 183-day contract, We traditionally have come back that Monday for the 2 days, and we'd have to have teachers come back the week prior, which that's sometimes is a challenge. So starting on a Tuesday for us would be very, very different than what we have done in the past. And so we've got to do some, we still need to do some work on the 13-14 calendar, I believe, before we bring that to you next year, but we did want to have at least a tentative one so that we could have a working document to be able to change from.
But the 12-13 one is pretty well set.
The 12-13 is I don't believe there were any changes from what you tentatively approved last year.
I think actually that one isn't that the one we bumped spring break up
We did bump it up.
The only thing we changed.
And that, one of those reasons was for the assessments starting. The assessments will start, I believe, on the 15th. The window begins for end of level.
And they wanted the kids back before.
And they wanted to have some time prior to them starting, and if they had been gone the whole week, that would have put them in a more challenging situation.
Mm-hmm. How close is this coordinate with CASH?
Had two people there from CASH.
We did. And they'll try and get their spring break the same as ours. They weren't sure on their Christmas because they couldn't decide if they were going to go for a day on that Monday or not. And then they always start on a Thursday, the third or fourth week in August. That's just always when they start. So that always pushes them into June. So we'll never quite get our start and ending dates, but they try to do the holidays as close as we can.
There was an effort made to coordinate, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's been great. Mike Lichty has really worked hard at making sure that they... We have some similarities. We kind of take the lead, and then they work from us. Mm-hmm.
Which really helps the busing and Bridgerland and a lot of groups.
That's
right.
That's the whole reason.
Yeah.
And Utah State has been very sensitive to fall break time. They have now utilized the Friday before the formerly known as the UEA break. So there is some connection there as well. We'll never work with them totally on start dates and end because of just of their schedule. So
and that was one
different.
Of the discussions with moving it back a week. If you start the same time as USU, for parents to try to go to their first day of class and have their kids their first day of class.
Right.
The discussion was it's much better to have the kids start the week before, even if we miss a few children who don't come till the mm-hmm. following week.
And I believe they're starting on the 27th.
I can't remember.
All right. Thanks, Stacy. We appreciate you, having that committee, the calendar committee. All right. Any further discussion? All right. Do I have a motion?
I would make a motion to adopt the 2012-13 calendar and to adopt the tentative 2013-14 calendar.
Okay.
Second that.
All right. Anne's made the motion. Jim seconded it. Do all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That passes. Next is action on Utah High School Activities Association.
You have before you, we've given you the bylaw changes, which were quite extensive. Their statement to us was these are just minor changes, but it looks like they're major. But
full pages.
When you have that many, I mean, they have not had this type of revision in quite a few years. Some of it is name changing and doing that they have made some changes on. They are trying with the second of the articles. In terms of the eligibility of players, this has been a major point of contention for the last couple of years. And as the law has changed in terms of the ability of those that are homeschooled or if they are from a charter school coming back to their home school, how that works, they're trying to be as proactive as they can because there has been more communication about potential legislation being put into place in regard to this. So they're trying to show the legislature that they are sensitive to the needs of individual areas and they still want to make sure that it's workable for schools and school districts. That has been some of the potential legislation out there literally makes it a free-for-all. A child can start with football at Skyview, come to us for basketball, and end up at Mountain Crest for baseball.
Which they probably wouldn't do.
And they would be, with that, and they can be at that point, they can be a homeschool child. So I mean, it's just you add all of those challenges together, it makes it very difficult to keep it that there's not recruiting and that type of situation occurring. So So there are two proposed changes that need to be approved by each school board, each of the 41 school boards. Their board of directors has ratified these and has sent it out to all of our districts. And once they get that back from the districts, then they will determine whether they've been changed.
All right. Any discussion about that?
How do you and Lynn feel about it? It said that we were going to have a recommendation.
My understanding from Lynn, as he read through them, is that they seem to be in accordance with what, well, when he was on their board, what they were talking about in the direction. So he did not see any concerns in the changes.
So these have to be approved by
each school board.
School board?
Yes. Does it have to be unanimous?
I think it says in there how many member schools.
Yes, there has to be a percentage, I believe.
Somewhere in all those changes.
Yeah.
Well, I will make a motion that we accept the changes to the Utah High School Activities Association. Is it bylaws?
Bylaws, yes.
All right. I have a motion by Ann and a second by Fred. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion passes. Now we need action on school improvement plans.
Tonight, I hope that as you went through those, and I appreciate the time that you spent, though it was a short for each one, it was, you know, when you added all eight schools together. I hope you saw a theme, though. We have some tremendous work going on in our schools by our staffs. You will also see that there is a much higher level of coordination with community councils than there has been in the past, and working with staff and community council to build a plan that is focused on the needs of those individual schools. This year we did put in the expectation of having a specific math, a specific language arts, and a specific ESL goal. Which has been different than we've done in the past. But I believe each one has come to the forefront and seeing that there are major changes in our demographics and really trying to meet those needs. That's apparent in the type of scoring that we've had and the amount of progress. Granted, we did not have three schools make AYP, but we did 100% of our schools made UPass, which is based on progress. Every one of our schools showed progress, and we can still do better. The gap between some of our lower socioeconomic groups and some of our minority groups is still too great, and we've got to lower those. And that's, I believe, if you look up through all eight, there is a focus and a goal to make that so that all students are learning at the highest level possible. Do you have any questions of me of the process or of any of the plans?
I had a question on the community council, and I tried to find it online. Is there any requirement that indicates that parents have to be the majority of the members? Or can it be?
Yes, no, they have to have, there is a requirement that there will always be one more of a voting membership than what they have in the staff. So if there are three staff members, and they have specific numbers, if you're a certain size, you have to have a certain number of and at our elementaries are at this point are three parents to two staff.
Well, I thought that's what the case was. So on some of the community councils, such as the high school, I believe it was equal, but I don't know if the staff is all voting. Does that make sense?
That is.
So if they're listed on the document, does that mean that they're a voting member, or are they?
I don't know the answer to that, but I can find out. Let's go quickly to that. There should be the last one on this group. And I apologize for having that added more pages, but at least it was in proper order for this way, so it had allowed you to look through them again. If you look at their September 30th,
Well, there's a list that has them listed in a...
Yeah.
But I can't remember where it's at.
It's behind that.
Yeah. It's behind the trust funds budget.
Yeah.
A verification of the community council elections.
Actually, the best place for your for them is when the names that were submitted.
Yeah,
when
it's
we
on
approve
the
it. Yeah, it's on the election. That's the
right.
best place to go.
But I can't remember what page it's on in this.
200 pages worth of stuff.
Yeah.
Logan Heise is on page 196.
I know there's a couple of them. Because the way I count it, there's six each.
So if you look at the list that they have on page one, I believe it's 198. See, the election is only the... You look at 198, there are...
198.
There's... One, yeah, the page right before it is the membership form. They have one, two, three employees, and they have four parents. Lisa Hopkins, Rob, and I wish
John.
I could, and Wayne Dodd, and Jay Sawyer.
Jeff Ewing also.
And Jeff Ewing. And his is not circled, so they actually have one more. They have five parents on theirs.
Wait a second.
The page before.
Yeah, I know, but I was thinking that's not, maybe that's not the one I was thinking.
Because the election one only shows who was elected this last term. It doesn't show all of them. So if you look at Lisa Hopkins is the chair, she's a parent. Then Alma Brown, Rob, who's a parent. Jeff Ewing is a parent. Larry Williams is an employee. Wayne Dodd is a parent. Randy Clough is an employee, but Jay Sawyer is a parent.
Okay.
So they actually have
Maybe
five
it's
parents.
It's a middle school.
Middle school, I thought only had one.
The middle school has...
One employee. Oh, that's just
no,
people who were filled.
Because you've got okay. One, two, three, four, five, six parents.
And
one, two, three,
six
four,
employees.
Five, six employees.
One.
Oh, and then there's Jim Shoemaker up above.
Yeah, Jim Shoemaker's the parent.
Up above.
One,
so he's up top.
Two, three, four, five. I believe there are
six. And then the
six.
Next page.
And I'm only showing five. Who's
well,
the sixth employee?
Is it Mike?
Mike is principal is. I'm trying to remember. I don't believe they're voting members. They're non-voting members. So Mike put his name down, but Mike is not a voting member. So there are six parents and five employees, five voting employees.
Okay, so we just need to make sure that's noted on the.
Because if you look at the other at Logan Heise, Dan Cox's name was not on there. If you look at the other ones, the principal's name is not on there. That's the difference.
Okay.
And so, the principal doesn't get to vote.
All right. So when that's listed on the state webpage, it will be.
Yeah. This is our form, so that we wanted to make sure that
yeah.
you had the information as we vote on that in just a minute.
Well, and I thought it's great because I can actually.
Yeah.
Call the
right.
president.
And we're going to get this.
Say,
we'll get
job.
This together, and it will be put on the portal, so
That'd
you'll have that information.
Yeah, I really like that too. It's nice to be able to see who's serving and when the election took place. I just didn't. It was confusing to me. So thank you for clarifying that. The only other thing that I would suggest in the future is maybe we have a date that they were. I guess it does say that.
Yes.
Term of office.
No
okay, so we know when they started.
So we know, and we know it's a three-year term. And that's
okay.
the first time we've had it, and the state did not require that on theirs, so we never knew. So now we can now keep track of each one and make sure that we know when the elections are occurring.
So, for example, on Lisa Hopkins, we know that this Well, she's in her third year this year.
This is her, yes, this is her third year.
For one more term. Okay. All right, I think that's great. All right, any other questions about the school improvement plan? All right, I will need a motion for that.
So moved.
I have a motion by Jim Blair.
Second.
Second by Fred Dersch. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that passes. Now we'll have action on the trust land budgets.
If you look at the trust land budgets, this is actually a requirement that I have put into place for so that we have a better understanding of where the funding is going, because the format on the trust lands page is much more nebulous. It just says salaries and that's it. It does not break it down into who. So what you have here are all eight schools and the budgets that have been approved, including modifications that have occurred. And you can see on the side when there's been
what
additional
page is that, Marshall?
Pages started. It starts on page 173.
Thank you.
Which is start, and it goes Adams through Logan High School.
Thank you.
Has the initial budget matters up at the top and what their description is, but also then any positions where they are being.
And does Riverside not get any trust line money?
No.
Oh, they don't.
No, it's only for K through 12 schools.
And South and North are incorporated into Logan High School?
Their numbers are incorporated into Logan High School, yes.
All right. I really thought that the presentation of those trust land budgets were very simple to follow. It was easy to understand, and I was grateful for that.
They've been very helpful for us. Once they are approved, they can go to HR. Then when a position comes in, they can see that it's been approved and that they can work on the paperwork.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do I have any discussion on the trust land budgets?
I'll move we approve those budgets if there's no question.
All right. We have a motion by Fred. Do I have a second?
Second, ma'am.
A second by Ann. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries. Now we're going to have action on committee council election. I guess we've
right.
talked about that.
Again, part of the law is that there is that you have seen and have verified the elections. We've come a long way on this. We still have some ways to go. We found a challenge, and one of the challenges are if you have an election in the spring, there is a potential that they move over the summertime, and so you're looking at replacements very quickly at the beginning of the year. We also found, though, that if you have the elections in the fall, that there's so many things happening in August that to get them up to speed is sometimes challenging, and allowing them to be part of the school improvement plan process is almost like in the middle of the process, because the school and those on the council members who before the election occurred, they kind of know what's happening, but trying to bring everyone else up to speed has been a challenge. Most of the schools are looking at the potential of having now they still believe a spring election is a stronger option for them. One other area that we have come into a challenge with, and I think with some clarification we can make the changes for next year, when you only have three people running and you only have three positions, do you hold an election? And many of them have not held a full election, and from this point on they will have to, even if they have just the same number of people, they don't have more candidates, they still have to have an official election. And we've been able to work some things out through SurveyMonkey. We believe we can help and assist them to make it an easy process and make it so it's not as cumbersome as they were anticipating. So some of these are elected, but it was not a full election as you would determine an election.
A lot easier to read Bridgers because they type it in. Some of the rest of them, it's hard to tell who really that is.
Yeah.
That's the other thing I think we will make sure is the printing is done in a way that we can actually read them.
So if people are doing their signature, it's often not readable.
It's difficult.
So. But again, we do have a good process. They're working hard at getting people, and we've gotten a great number of people interested. And you know, it's still not where it needs to be, but I believe, again, we've seen a major change over the last couple of years, and I'm excited. They have a lot of feeling worth, and they feel like there's a lot of dialogue that they're involved with and have some input into.
All right. I'll call for a motion then on the approval to support the community council elections.
So moved.
I have a motion by Jim. I need a second.
Doesn't matter.
Go ahead.
I'll do it.
Second by Fred Dersch. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Before we finish this area, on the original materials to you on Friday, it was stated that we would be doing ratification approval of the Utah Consolidated application. We're not finished with it yet, and we've asked for an extension, so our anticipation is to come to you on November 14th with that. It's been much more complex than we had thought, and more hoops than we think are necessary, but they are hoops we have to go through. Part of it is from the federal government requiring more information of USOE. Some of it is because of laws, and some of it is because of USOE interpretation of those laws. I don't know how small, I mean, we're a small district, but I don't know how the really small districts are doing it because it is so cumbersome.
And how many pages is it?
It's going to be well over 100 pages. I have over 10 pages of assurances.
100 pages, I thought. It can't be the school consolidated.
It has just been, I was working on it today. I worked on it for about 3 hours just to try to get some parts to match, and it's extremely cumbersome. And because of our process, and I believe it's a good process, we do our school improvement plans now because it's active for this. They're anticipating that your school improvement plans are all done in the spring, so you spend all summer working on your UCA. Well, until I get those school improvement plans, I don't know how to make the changes in our overall plan. So time-wise, it's not, but I believe it's allowing our school improvement plans to be active. They're used. As I go through and I work with schools, they are utilizing those plans and focusing on those plans in their instruction on a daily basis. And that's the importance of a school improvement plan, not just to meet a federal regulation or state regulation. So I'm hoping I will get back within the next couple of days the approval. They were fairly lenient last year. I'm hoping they will be lenient again this year for us to have a few weeks extra time. But it will come forth to you on the 14th of November.
Very nice. Exciting. Thank you, Marshall, for your work on that. We probably better bring you chocolate and Diet Coke as you do that. Page 50, let us know, and we'll all take
turns. And I'll tell you right now, Robin is the other one, because most of the federal programs are underneath there. She has just gone nuts. And there's over 10 pages just on gifted and talented, which we get very little money, less than $10,000 a year on. But it's just, we are going to have to identify all students through a testing process who are gifted. That's now a requirement of the State Office of Education. We are fortunate that we are been able to, as you saw in the personnel section, we have hired an intern from Utah State who is from the College of Education, who is working in the gifted and talented area, who is going to help us and assist at each school for the identification of students. That's a very interesting process because some districts is just by a test. Some use a norm reference test, and that becomes a gifted number. Others use a variety of different tactics, and many districts don't do anything. So, but we'll have an ability to, again, look at what gifted means. It's going to be a learning process. Many of our parents believe that gifted means the same thing as accelerated, and there is a difference. Accelerated means a faster pace, same basic materials, maybe a little bit deeper. Gifted has a whole different connotation, and as Howard Gardner, if you look at the multiple intelligences, it's much different than what we used to think of in terms of a gifted and talented. Each of our schools is looking at ways they can help their kids at the top end. each of the elementary schools and their power hours and their, and also in their math time and their language arts are giving those students extra options, not more problems, but deeper concepts and being able to really work. And you heard what they're trying to do at the middle school level, specifically with the 7th and 8th grade, and then obviously in our high school we've got the concurrent enrollment AP track. But those are just part of what really a gift it is. And we're hoping this intern can also help us in that education process with parents and also help get us to where, get us planning on where we need to be to have a full program for all of our kids, both those at the top end as well as we're trying to work as hard as we can through our title programs with the lower level kids.
All right, perfect. Thank you, Marshall. Seeing no other action items, we'll go into reports. We'll start with Fred.
Pretty good, thank you. I attended the legislative meeting with legislators this week, and I came away a little better understanding of what their problems were. House Bill 301 and Senate Bill 65 impacts on us in the education process. We expressed our concerns, and I think that they accepted and had a better understanding of where we're coming from as a result of that meeting. But I think I also came away with a better understanding of their problems, and that they don't have unlimited funds to deal with, and that there are a lot of things that we don't understand in the process that they go through. And I felt like I came out of that with a little better feeling for what's going on, and that we got to have some give and take. But also I think that they came away with a better understanding of where we're coming from, and that we've got to address those issues. These two bills are not doing the job. Anyway, that's what I came. And I appreciated doing that and having that meeting. I thought that was great.
Okay. Thank you, Fred. Appreciate your work. Anne?
After the Hillcrest celebration, I went to the first USBA legislative meeting on the 7th of October. And Zane presented, similar to what he did with the legislators on 301, and there were a number of people in the room who said, oh, I now understand it. Zane did a very good job there, and I just wanted to say that I appreciate his level of professionalism and his ability to understand things. And I think those meetings that we have with our legislators, using the expertise that we have in our district and in other districts, we can really impact changes, you know, to hopefully have legislation that will help rather than hurt us. And I, like I said when we were meeting yesterday, that I felt like that was a lot more effective use of time than just our meeting together and having lunch and we do rah-rah-rahs for the legislature and for school districts. But, you know, I know there's a reason for both, but I think we need to continue that. We're starting early on the legislative committee because there are things that have come up already. And it was interesting because they did talk about asking Lyle to run one of the bills, and we found out the answer of that yesterday. I have, what was I going to say? There was one other I was going to mention about the Hillcrest activity on, not the Hillcrest, the Bridger activity on Friday. They'd really appreciate anybody who wants to go to that. And then I had a question in November. When are our meetings?
We have one meeting that is a combined work session regular meeting.
So just the 14th?
On the 14th. But we do have a joint meeting with the City Council on November the 29th.
Okay.
It's their turn to host.
So the fifth Tuesday.
The fifth Tuesday. We do not know the time. The main topic from our end is to share with them the information from the facilities assessment on the rec center. We do not know if they're what they have. It's their agenda time. We have asked them to put that on there. Stacy, did you hear back from her at all today? We've been trying to get verification that we're still on. They did ask us in September if we were still on. The last two times we were supposed to meet, they canceled, so because of some urgent city business. So we're assuming it's still on.
And do we have a date yet with for our legislative luncheon?
That is actually with Cash's responsibility, and Dale was with us yesterday. He is going to talk with Steve as to whether they wanted to do something different after the discussion with the legislators yesterday.
Okay. Very good.
Is that all for you, Ann? Perfect. Jim. Oh, thank you, Ann. I appreciate all you do. Sorry, I didn't say that. I thought you had more to say, and I stuck a nut in my mouth. I should not eat nuts when I'm conducting the meeting. Put those over there, Marshall.
You're a real nut.
I am a nut.
The Edith Bowen Governing Board met last week. Interesting discussion. Dan has put forward a lot of things to help bring that school in line with the state goals and objectives, and is doing a really super job. They're under discussion of moving Edith Bowen to a 6-8 center, but they're just talking about it. No decisions are made, but apparently that's what Edith Bowen was sort of designed to do when they built the building, and so there's just sort of beginning discussion about that as a possibility.
And taking out grades K through 5?
No, they would add, they would make it a K-8 school.
And Marshall had lots of good insights to give them. They initially thought that he was going K to 6th, and Marshall brought up the fact that if you're going to do that, you probably ought to go to 8th grade because of the problems of transition to kids.
For both Cash and for us to have a child come in the middle, for the county, it would be coming in 7th grade in their middle school, 6-7 centers, and for us it would be in the middle of the 6-8, and that's a hard enough transition anyway for middle school kids
from
the elementary, but to do that right in the middle, especially in our district when we only have one middle school, those kids have already started to bond with each other in the 6th grade, and it makes them the odd men out if they come in the 7th. So, but they're talking and discussing, and I think that there's some different options and things that we might be able to work with them on.
So there's some changes going. I think they're dealing with some interesting adjustments with staff and faculty there, but I think they're making really great progress. So I was really impressed with what they're doing. That's all I have.
Well, thank you, Jim. We appreciate all you do. I'm serving on that committee. That's very nice of you. I'm glad you're doing that.
I appreciate you acknowledging my service.
You do a great, you all do a very good job, and I'm very thankful.
Thank you, Christy.
I am going to, going to report on USBA, just a few things about what's coming up. Day on the Hill is Monday. Oh, I'm sorry. I think it's January 23rd.
On a Monday. That's different.
I think it's Monday this year. It might be the 24th. I couldn't find it. I can check and double check that and let you know in the future. They're going to shake that up a bit and have us meet with our legislators prior to lunch because they feel like that after lunch they're usually in committee meetings. So we're hoping that we can have a little bit better discussion with them on that day before we eat. There'll be some really good discussion and classes at the convention, which is in January. I appreciate Stacy getting our rooms reserved for that. One of the things we'll be discussing is publicity in our district and how we can use social media to really tout what we do and to inform parents about what's happening in the school. I know that Robin does do a Facebook page, and she's really good about putting stuff on there, but they're going to really encourage us to, do all those social media things that kids do these days.
So we should tweeting up to Facebook before we go?
Facebook, yes. And I think from what I understand from this company that presented, it's the wave of the future, and it's a great way to keep your parents involved. So that's one of the things they're going to be focusing on at that meeting. We're excited that the Chanteurs will be singing at our Friday night meeting.
And Crimson Colony.
I'm sorry, Crimson Colony, thank you. and I nominated Zane to perform another act of service at that thing. We'll see if that pans out. I'm not going to say anything about it yet. But I did. Did they not? I'm not going to say anything until they call you. But I did.
He told me he doesn't do solos.
I did have a lot of.
You don't have a say. Hell no.
I do have a lot of.
This is being taped.
People that commented about your class.
I hope that they're listening.
I'm not. I'm totally ignoring you. A lot of people commented about your class at the Leadership Academy, so thank you for doing that. I, too, went to the legislative meeting and came away just like Fred with a new understanding, and I do appreciate that conversation. I learned a lot, and it was a great opportunity to meet with them, and I think they were very welcoming to our comments and really tried to understand. It was kind of shocking to me that they didn't understand the implication of what happened with those two bills, that they were not thinking that it would have impacted us the way it did. So that kind of shocked me, but it was great to meet with them. Foundation is in the process of determining whether we're going to do a version of Dancing with the Stars for a fundraiser. Marshall's going to dance in that, and Zane's going to MC. Anyway, they're in the process of trying to decide.
Going to be Marshall.
No.
I don't know. He's going to be the star.
I'm taking tickets at the door.
I
am taking tickets at the door. That is my job.
So they're trying to establish if that would be a good thing for the community to support the foundation. And Shan and Dan are working on some publicity things to, you know, bring awareness to the foundation. And it was great to go to the Hillcrest celebration. I thought the fireworks were wonderful. It was, I agree with Ann, the fire marshal would probably have had a heart attack.
It was so packed in there.
It was so packed, and I stayed for a couple hours after and helped clean up, and it was a huge mess. But it was a great, great time, and they did a great job with that. And that's all I have. Marshall, no, Zane. Sorry.
When you meet with USBA, I noticed the preliminary agenda that they'd send out, and it said Logan High School Choir, and I didn't know if you wanted them to say Crimson Colony.
I'll call on that.
You might want to check on that.
I've given them that name, but I didn't
What's
know
that?
I've given them the full names, but he may not have written it down correctly.
I have the actual thing in me, but I'll get that while you're talking.
The financial report's attached. I didn't see anything that stuck out on that. It would be out of the ordinary. Unless you had any specific questions. I could probably, I don't know, did you have any questions about what you approved on the consent calendar with regards to the line of credit? I had a chance to talk to everyone, but you were in Arches, and I don't know if I talked to you. Did I finally get to talk to you about it? I didn't think so.
That makes more sense.
But anyway, yeah, that will save us a lot of money. So if you had any questions at all, I'm happy to entertain those. The audit is finished. They have until, I think, the 30th to finish their audit report. I anticipate that will be done. We could have our audit report. Do you usually do that in an open meeting or in a work meeting?
We have to accept
it. You have to accept the audit, but do you usually?
But that's the consent calendar. Not
yes.
Sure we had it in the work session.
Right. If it has to be done before December 1st, on November 14th, we will have a work session / regular board meeting. So we can have a work session at the beginning to go over it and then have an approval process afterwards.
Okay. So we'll just kind of work through that as we need to. They have to have theirs in by November 30th. So you don't necessarily have to approve that before it gets sent in. So we'll just see how that goes. Do you have any questions for me? Okay, thanks.
There you go. Thank you, Zane. We appreciate all you do as well, and thank you for making the budget very easy for us to understand. Marshall.
Where do I begin? I've had some, this last week I was able to meet with all schools, but I believe one, as my school improvement plan, I meet with them three times a year, and this is my second meeting to see where they were on their plans, what they're doing, looking at the data that they are utilizing. Again, our elementary schools have really gotten some great things down about where kids are. Mount Logan has been able to do the same. We're still having a struggle at the high school in terms of getting appropriate data to be able to really look at curriculum and instructional needs, i.e. reading. It's just, reading's not been a class at the high school level. It's been left to the language arts, but that's not really the only area that there is. So they have done the SRI testing up through 10th grade there. Right now, it is the discussion is, okay, we've got this data now, how do we use it? And part of that challenge is going to just take some time to, because it's a new assessment. Also, they used the Explore data, which is the 8th grade test, pre-ACT, in their placement of the 9th grade students. We're now working with them and saying, okay, no, with this kind of watching, especially at the upper end, how can that impact the instruction within the 9th grade as well as the remediation assistance? I mean, they have some kids that were identified as having struggles within their math and their language arts. How can they utilize that on an ongoing basis to make sure that kids are on track more than just grades? And that's part of the FIT that was presented to you. So that was it's great when I am able to get out into the schools and talk with the principals about what they're doing, because instruction wise they're really, we are blessed with instructional leaders. They really are trying to do their job on that, not just do the management. It's been busy. I mean, and the budget cuts have made a very major impact on their job, and they're doing a very good job of trying to protect their teachers as much as possible. But it is out there. Everybody is feeling that stress and that challenge. Money does make a difference.
Do we have any view on the horizon about more budget cuts coming down?
Senator Hilliard, as he's in terms of talking, is they don't preliminary budgets figures for this year. The current year will be coming in here within the next 4 to 5 weeks, but they've got almost $150 million they don't know between the spread between where it could be on the worst end or where it could be on the upper end.
60 million in the hole or 150 million.
$100 million in the positive. So,
and they, somewhere in there, he says,
there are some good signs, but he said it's just there's the schizophrenia right now, and is just signs that usually all went up or down together are now going in opposite directions, and so it's very difficult to pinpoint. He did state that in terms of overall needs in the state, just to keep things even would be $280 million, and there's not $280 million of new money. So that is a discussion point that will be part of it. Do we take more cuts, or do all cuts happen within other budget, other areas of the budget, health and human services, police, et cetera, or the prisons, et cetera?
Positive, but plan for cuts, basically.
So the assessed valuation challenges that we are facing with our lower, it is now a statewide challenge. Assessed valuations are down tremendously, and again that impacts the amount of revenue coming in from taxes. So all in all, it's gray, some little white areas and some dark cloud areas, so we're just not sure exactly what will take over. I did appreciate the fact that those that were able to make it with the legislators. We will hold, again, we'll either hold another meeting like that, or that will be our joint meeting with the county, and Dale's taking it back to Steve to see if what they would like to do, because it is their year to host. They did want to meet with us ongoing during this session, So we'll need to make sure that we facilitate that when we're down there somehow, figure out a date or a time where we can go down as a contingency and work with them. They felt that was a very positive thing when we met the Monday before the end of the session. And it made a difference, I believe. It changed some dialogues and some understanding on their part, and I believe that that helped in changing a couple of the votes on some bills.
I felt they were willing to listen to us, at least. I came out of that.
Right.
I wanted to listen.
We are working with a legislative committee in terms of getting an understanding of the legislative process. We had a really good USBA, really appreciated Richard presenting on how to be a delegate, and we're going to be working on that over the next couple of months, getting that information out, and then identifying every precinct in both the Republican and Democratic parties in terms of where we have people that we know and that we can make sure that we have people involved and encourage them to get to their caucuses and to be willing to run for a delegate office. So
something we can work with Hillary on.
Right.
And
I'm
because we've got to get, that's who matters to many of those politicians.
We have many that, you know, as they look at it, if they can get through convention, they will be elected. And so their job is not the election, it's convention. So we have an opportunity to have some impact in a positive way for people who really are seeing the need for a further and deeper dialogue on education. I mean, we saw that within our four. It's still a money issue, and it always will be. We'll always be challenged. But there are many states that have been able to do some four planning and really working at a long-term strategic plan, saying we will guarantee the base, and the base consists of these following things. And if times are good, we can add to you. If times are bad, we will find money to make the base. And that's the discussion we've not been able to get much movement on, because our base keeps shrinking. They will commit to a base, but that base keeps shrinking, and our challenges are not shrinking, and our bills are not shrinking.
Zane brought up a good point that the operational expenses are ongoing regardless of what we do in terms of their decisions.
Unless we can close a whole school down.
That's one way to deal with it, but you can't do that, really.
We are working on online education options. We've had some good meetings, and we're going to be developing, and we'll actually bring to you some dialogue on the 14th as to what our focus should be. When you start looking at online, there's a lot of opportunities. We have made contact with the state office to be an EdNet site, which means we can broadcast out as well as transmit in. We're looking at it as a broadcast out opportunity. That changes some of our options and opportunities, and assisting counties like Rich, who have a challenge in concurrent enrollment and some of their AP classes. We also want to look at what is online going to look like that we have control over and options for. We've had some other districts are doing some, because right now everyone is in a quandary of exactly what is the need out there, what's the felt need. Salt Lake, for example, is putting into place for their registration process online classes in each of the areas to see whether or not with their registration, what are the kids, what would they sign up for? And so we're going to be in further discussions with them and with our high school to say, should we start at least finding out? We need to find out from our children what it is they're doing. We really only have a handful of students that are even doing online high school for extra credit or for makeup credit. It's out there, but part of our job is going to have to be really pushing opportunities outside of just classroom experience. We want to make sure we have a hybrid. We also need to have the discussion as to if it's recertification credit, on whose dime is that, and what that cost should be.
Restoration, not recertification.
Yes, restoration. It's restoration credit. I'm sorry.
I
knew I said the wrong R word. I just kind of, it's late. But that restoration credit is a big thing. And also, in our discussion with the legislators, is Representative Butterfield specifically was saying, we should be able to commit to the number of credits that a student should be able to take. And if they want to take more within that time, that's fine. But should that be on our dime or should that be on their dime? And if that's the case, if a child wants to get 5, 6, 8 more credits doing something, then should we be offering that, but at least a cost, minimal as it can be to cover our costs, but having opportunities for our kids. Because what we find is that many of our top-end kids want to have more flexibility in their schedule, so they're taking online classes, maybe 2 or 3 during their 4 years, but they're taking some to free up their schedules. And we'd hate to diminish that opportunity for them, but again, should that, up to this point, online high school's been great because that's been a free program, and for us as well. It's just, but their funding ends at the end of the school year. So that model's gone, and we have to figure out how we're going to recreate the new model. Jim, I'm going to probably pick your brain quite a bit as to what happens at the university level. You have a model at the Utah State that is something very foreign to us, and we've got to figure out how we can do some of those adaptations and things. But we're having some good dialogue, and we'll be meeting with counselors and with the administration to start some processes, because by December you will be receiving the course outlines, and so we have about 5 weeks now to really make some major decisions.
And you could tell from our legislators that they feel like online classes are part of the future, not doing away with teachers. But you know, from the university level.
Oh yes, coming.
And so, yes, we probably should do some embracing of it, and so that we're part of the development of it rather than fighting it. And you know what works and what doesn't, so we need you.
Well, we know what we're doing.
We need to figure out a way that
all works or not. We're having a real cheating problem right now.
Well, that's one thing that I brought up to
interesting
cheating going on
to them.
And the irony at the university level is that's not going to get them anywhere.
But we're finding a lot of kids cheating.
Even with proctored tests and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, they get a hold of old tests from other kids. They'll sell them. They sell them old tests. They'll take notes on the test questions. Sell them.
Wow.
Sell their old papers.
How do you control that?
We just have to change the tests. I know.
But how do you keep kids from sitting down together as a group and
cannot
going through the tests together as a group?
Well, they're proctored, so they have to go to a proctor site.
Oh, okay.
We had one kid who was cheating online during the test. He was finding the answers by going to Google, and the proctor found him online. Said, no, you can't do that.
Originally, they didn't even have the proctor test.
That's right.
You know, when my kids first started taking some online classes, and I think there also is a lot more, the chat room, you know, you have to be online, and you have to blog, and so that there is that something conversation.
I was also, one last thing, I was able to go down with Jalen Kelly to the Teacher of the Year banquet in Salt Lake, and they do a great job honoring all of the Teachers of the Year from not all districts. Only 20 districts have actually sent in their nominees for the state position, and She is an outstanding example of excellence and a master teacher, and it was wonderful to watch her receive the accolades just that all of them did. It was a very neat evening for her. And she kept winning. She had 3 prize drawings, and she won 3 different things, and so she was excited.
Is that all, Marshall?
That's all.
All right.
Christy?
Yes, Fred?
I just happened to look at my email. It says we'd like to personally invite you to a Thinking Maps training, day one training. We held them on November 30th, 9 to 3:30 in the boardroom. It's from Lisa Tusher. I just got there.
Oh, perfect. Is that a thing we RSVP to?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She has to order material.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, if you're interested in doing that, she would love to have you there.
All right.
Okay. You can think. You can sure see that Thinking Maps are taking off in our district.
Yep. It's been amazing, and like they were saying, literally, you're going from kindergarten all the way through, and they're using it. And at the high school, English and math teachers didn't, but they are clamoring now to get so that they want it as well. We were worried because of the transition and everything else they were doing that it may be too much for them, but they're going, bring more. And both the middle school and the high school are working at plans to expand that, and it's just been exciting.
Cool. That's exciting. So if you can go RSVP to Stacy, I'm assuming?
Yep.
Okay, anything else we have tonight? All right, I will then adjourn this meeting. Do I have to have a motion to adjourn the meeting? Just adjourn the meeting?
Just adjourn.
Okay, we are going to adjourn this meeting at 7:23. Hour and a half.
So till then, the official meeting is only an hour and
we did pretty
23
good.
Minutes.
Yeah.
And we didn't get